Hi, good morning. Welcome to another edition of the Coffee Break. Doug with you again this morning. It is Tuesday morning, and here at the house, it is partly cloudy, beautiful skies, temperatures warming up nicely. But as I turned on the news this morning, destruction and devastation in many parts of the central U.S. due to the storms that happened overnight. And of course, the weather forecast is calling for storms today and tomorrow, and just a tough time. Sometimes I sit back in my chair and I ask, Lord, why do you allow these things to happen? Why is there so much destruction and suffering happening? Why do you allow these things? And right after that, I see a news story about things that you and I would call sin and abortion and those that are doing things that are against Israel and against God's chosen people. And it's almost like in my spirit, I'm thinking, my goodness, it's not that God, he himself has pulled away, it's we've pushed him away. And you know, I'm always coming back to those verses, if we would just humble ourselves and ask God for forgiveness, that he will heal our land. Now, I could talk about that for hours, but that's not why you tuned in this morning. I want to thank you for showing up this morning. Today, we're going to talk about two verses, and those two verses may not be what you think they are, so get ready for that. And you're sitting there thinking, I want to hear more in the other. I want to hear a lot more in the other. How about doing an episode just on that? And I may one day. I just really want to make sure that I'm not doing it out of a personal motive or a personal vendetta, that I just want to do things that the Lord typically has called me to do. And even as a part of my Bible study, it's verse by verse, and what do these verses mean? So today we'll take a look at James chapter 5. We'll start in verse 14, and we'll read verses 14 and 15. So if you have your copy of God's Word, join with me this morning. Verse 14, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. All right, now you're curious. Sometimes people think, okay, I know he's coming up on these verses in James. What is he going to say? I'm not going to say what you think I'm going to say. I think these two verses have been completely mistranslated in various times, in various eras of our history since they were written. So James opens up, he asks a third rhetorical question, and then he answers it completely. Is any one of you sick? So we have a great deal of misunderstanding from what this verse actually means, or even the question actually means. Some people teach that this passage says that if anybody is physically sick among you, healing by faith is just a prayer away. Some people have taken that a prayer of faith along with, okay, anointing with oil as taken as a translation of medicinal purposes. So a prayer of faith with medicine equals healing. Prayer plus a physician. But that's not what this is saying. What is actually referred to as being sick? Is there any other reason besides a physical ailment that sick could mean? Well, if we go back to the original Greek term, asthenai literally means to be weak. And we see in the Gospels that it sometimes is referred to physical illnesses. But typically, this verse is talked about more often a weak faith or a weak conscience. We can see this in Acts 20, in Romans 6, Romans 14, 1 Corinthians 8. All these times that we see these in these verses, this word in these verses, it's really talking about a weak conscience, a weak faith. And we translate it as a sick person, which literally means to be weary, to be weak in the faith. He's not referring to someone who's bedfast. He's not referring to someone who's diseased. He's not referring to someone who has cancer. He's not referring to the ill in general. He wrote these words to those who had grown weary, who had become weak both morally and spiritually in the midst of suffering. These are the ones who should call for the help of the elders of the church. Okay? If we look in 1 Thessalonians 5:14, the early church leaders were instructed to encourage the timid and to help the weak. Same word. Same word. Jesus said that the elders should pray over him and anoint him with oil. All right? Now, this is a very significant word here, to anoint, to rub with oil. It's an idea, not necessarily as a ceremonial ritual anointing, but rather the idea that we should put oil on the weak. Okay, we should help the weak. We should help the weary. It should be refreshed, okay, and encouraged, uplifted by those who rub oil on the person's head who needs spiritual help, okay? For the fallen, for those that are distressed, the weary believer, restoration is assured. Look at these words that we see here. I know I'm running longer than normal. You may have to pause it and come back to it, but look at the words that he uses here. Okay? And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick. This is not a may save the one who is sick, could save the one who is sick, will save the one who is sick, is the words that are used here. Okay? And the Lord will raise him up. How many times have you gone to an anointing service or seen an anointing service to where an individual was prayed over by the elders of the church? Number one, and number two, they were anointed with oil, and number three, the illness never went away. And sometimes we come back to the table and say, well, that person didn't have enough faith. Oh my goodness, don't do that. Just because a person reaches out to the elders of the church doesn't mean they have no faith if they're sickness was not healed. Remember, the Apostle Paul prayed to the Lord, can you remove this thorn in my flesh, multiple times? But what happened? God didn't do it. We should always be praying for God's will rather than our desires. Okay? The fallen, the discouraged, the distressed. Restoration is assured. And the elder's prayer will make the sick person well. In other words, it'll restore him from discouragement and spiritual defeat. The Lord will raise him up. This restoration that James is talking about is spiritual, not physical. And it's further clarified by the assurance, if he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Now, wait a minute. Think about this for a second. If these verses talked about physical healing right here, then why in the world will it immediately be followed up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven? This is not physical. This is spiritual. This whole section of these verses is spiritual. Okay, so be careful here. So many, many Christians have called on people to pray for them, to anoint them with oil. And in most cases, a sizable percentage of them have remained sick. So this tells me that this passage could have been mistakenly understood as physical restoration rather than a spiritual restoration. Think on these things. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow. Have a great day. God bless. Bye-bye.